Morning. God bless each one of you. May his grace and his peace be upon you this morning. Welcome to the visitors. It's good to see you all here this morning. Thank you for sharing, Seth. May God bless you for your faithfulness over in Greece. And I'm just really thankful this morning. Really thankful for what Christ has done for me and the life that we can live through Christ. Thankful that we can identify in his death and in his resurrection, that that we can live that new life, that resurrection life, the life lived in the Spirit. And I want to look at that a little bit, and what it looks like to live a Spirit-filled life. And if we could turn our Bibles to Genesis 12. I'm going to talk a little bit about the life of Abraham, or Abram, it says here. This is before his name was Abraham, it was Abram. And what I want us to think of as we look into that is how the Old Testament and some of the Old Testament stories and happenings, how it parallels into our lives as we look into that, how what happened in the physical, as we look at Abraham's life, the things that happened in the physical, how it parallels into our lives in the spiritual. And we'll go into that more. But in the beginning here, as God is speaking to Abraham, he continues to just minister his promises and the things that he promised Abram. He continues to just speak it to him about how he's going to make his name great, and he shall be a blessing, and out of him will come kings and nations. Before I go into the story, I'm just going to open up with prayer. Father, I just thank you this morning that we can be gathered together here. Thank you that you have brought us together, that each one of us is here for a purpose. Each one of us is here for a reason. And I just pray, God, this morning, as we look at your word, as we look at the life of Abraham, I just pray, God, that you would minister to us and that your will would be accomplished, that the words that I speak would not be my own, but that you would speak through me, God. I just pray, Lord, that you would bless us this morning, bless our time of fellowship. I pray that we could be an encouragement to one another and point one another to Jesus. I pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. So, Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee and thy name, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So he's telling Abram that he's going to make a great nation out of him. And at this point, I don't know exactly how old Abram was, but obviously they didn't have children at that point. And I'm sure he recognized that in order for that promise to be fulfilled, they would need to have children. But going into chapter 13, we'll start reading chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So God gave this territory, this land, he gave to Abram to occupy. He gave it to him to live in. And what I want to look at is how that transfers into our lives and the land that the what we're supposed to occupy. And what I found interesting, I never noticed this before, but up in verse 12, it says, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. And this is where the promised land, which was Canaan, this was when it was first promised to Abraham, and God told him that it's his, and he's supposed to occupy it, is what he's saying. And what I want to look at is, first of all, I want to explain a little bit of Canaan. As I was thinking about that, I thought of the children of Israel and how Moses brought them out of Egypt into the land of Canaan, into the promised land. It took him the 40 years to go through the wilderness and into the promised land. But when I saw this, I had to ask myself, what ever happened? Because God promised this land to Abraham, and obviously sometime they left because, I mean, how did they end up in Egypt? And the Bible isn't just very clear on it, but I think what happened in Joseph's day was when Joseph was taken into captivity and taken to Egypt, and there was 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine, the Hebrews at that time came out of Canaan and into Egypt, and they stayed there during the famine because that's where all the food was. Egypt, Joseph in Egypt was storing the food, and so they ended up there and they just stayed there. So God used Moses to bring them out of Egypt and into the promised land, and they first end up going through the wilderness for 40 years, but into the promised land. I found that interesting that the original promise was made to Abraham to occupy the promised land, to occupy Canaan. And I had to think of what that looks like in our lives. Like, what is God calling us to? And what is the land that he's calling us to occupy? It could have something to do with our jobs. It could have something to do with church. It could be ministry. It could be reaching out. It could be something that God is asking us to do. And he wants us to follow through with that. And I had to think of, even in our relationship with God, like, God is drawing us in. He is taking us to a greater place with him, and we need to strive for that because there's always a greater place. The song we sang this morning, there's a deeper place in Jesus than the place that I now know. And I think this kind of goes into what God has given Abraham, all this land, and he wants him to occupy it, but there's always more. When we occupy that thing and we follow through with what God is asking us to do, there's always more. And if we would know everything that God is going to ask of us throughout our entire life, it would look really overwhelming. But what God asks us to do is occupy in that one area. And if we thrive through his power, through the power that he has given us in Christ, if we can thrive in that, he'll then call us to a greater place. He'll take us deeper with him. Next, I'm going to read in Genesis, going forward, Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees and to give thee this land to inherit it. And there are the promises again. He promised Abram that his seed will be more than the stars of heaven, more than you can number. And in the beginning, Abram is asking, he says, What wilt thou give me, seeing that I go childless? And he's questioning why God is saying this if they're not able to have children. And in the next few verses, Abram goes through somewhat of a dark time in his life, and God continues to minister that to him during that dark time. Down in verse 18, he says, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And then starting down in 16, it talks about how Abram and Sarai decided that they're going to, if they can't have children, they're going to make something work. And they ended up, Abram, they had a child through Hagar, and they were like, well, if God isn't going to move on our behalf, then we're just going to take matters in our own hands, and we're going to have a child some other way, and this is going to be the promised child, and this is what God has promised. Out of this child will come the seed that God has promised to fulfill the land and or to inherit the land and to occupy the land. But that was not at all God's will. But anyway, through that, Hagar had a child. And down in 15, it says, chapter 16, verse 15, it says, And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And I'm just gonna continue to read there. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall not thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant. Therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And I'm not going to go into, I don't know exactly why God commanded that. I'm not going to go into all that. But what I find amazing is that it seems kind of interesting that God would ask Abraham to do that when it's talking about circumcision. And what inspired me in this is that there's a few times that God asks Abraham to do something and he doesn't question it. Like, this seems kind of like something that's questionable. Like, why would you do that? But he doesn't question it, and he just follows through because he knows that the Lord spoke to him, and he knows that he needs to be obedient. He just follows through. And what I wanted to bring out in this story is that when they decided they're going to, instead of trusting in God's promise, and they decided they're going to take matters into their own hands and have a child through Hagar, I wanted to look at how that might look in our own lives. And I think Ishmael represents living our lives out in the flesh. And Isaac represents what happens if we believe in God's promises and we live our lives out in the Spirit, living a Spirit-led life. And God really ministered these verses to us, to my wife and I, over one time. Many of you know that of what we've been through, of Sari having a few miscarriages. And the one morning we were sitting there and we were talking about this, and we were just talking about how we want to have children. Like, that's what it comes down to. We want to have children. And we were like, well, what are we going to do about it? And we were talking about this, and God clearly spoke to us through this that we have to be extremely careful that if we're over here and what we want is over here, which is a family, that we're careful that we seek God's will in getting over here and not do everything that we can to get here as soon as possible. And it just really spoke to us that God's timing is always right. It's always perfect. And I don't know what he has in mind for us. I don't know exactly. But what I want to bring out is that we simply need to trust in him. God wanted Abraham and Sarah to trust in him in his timing. And even in situations that looked impossible in their old age, God had promised a child. And sometimes, it's interesting how sometimes Abraham was just right there. Like, God spoke something and he followed through immediately. But sometimes, in this situation, they were struggling to trust God and they decided to just take matters in their own hands and have a child through Hagar. And what I want to look at is the effect of that, of what happens when we make a decision out of the flesh, and how that affects generations. And we talked a little bit about that last night. We heard a little bit about it, about how one person sharing Christ with somebody, and through that, this man became born again and started revival meetings. And through that, Billy Graham became born again. And I'm inspired by that. But on the other hand, when you look at Abraham and Sarah, and when they had a child, when they had Ishmael, what came out of that? And Ishmael's descendants today are the Muslims. And somewhere in Genesis here, I don't have it written down, but it talks about how his hand shall be against other people. And I find it interesting that the Muslims have this saying about, like, I and my brother and my cousin against the world, and I and my brother against my cousins, and I and my brother against each other. And that's just kind of, that's the way some of these people live their lives, is like, they're always fighting, and it's interesting to think of these people as the descendants of Ishmael and how that came from a decision that was made in the flesh. But it's also amazing to see the work that God is doing and the testimony of Raza and many, many more. I was reading some statistics, and I don't know how accurate this is, but how in the last 20 years, more Muslims have come to Christ than the 1,000 years before that. And I don't know, I'm not sure how accurate that is, but it's absolutely amazing what's happening in the Middle East, in the Muslim world, and how even if in times past we have made a decision out of the flesh, we've chosen to not trust God, and we've chosen to take matters in our own hands, how God redeems that. And he uses it for his glory. And in this situation, he's bringing Muslims to Christ like never before. And he's using that decision that Abraham and Sarah made for his glory. So I'm gonna continue reading there in, see here, in chapter 17, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, O that Ishmael might live before thee. And here, I'm guessing he's saying that out of his lack of faith in God continues to promise him a child, and he doesn't want to believe it. And through that, he says, O that Ishmael might live before thee. And he's saying, like, is this that we have done in our own strength not good enough for you? And it's not, because it's not what God promised. And the decisions that we make in our lives that are not of God, or it's not what God has called us to, it's not good enough. God wants to have it done his way, and that's what he's trying to tell Abraham. But Abraham says, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And then God says, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and his seed after him. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. And then going down, starting at Genesis 18. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And then the next couple verses, it's talking about the meal that they made, starting verse 9. And when they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. and Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within her, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh? Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Then Sarah denied, saying, "I laugh not," for she was afraid. And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." And here God goes a little deeper in, instead of just saying that he's going to multiply his seed and there shall be more as than the stars in the heaven, he comes and he tells him that Sarah will have a child in her old age. And they're still not, I don't know if Abraham is believing it, but it doesn't seem like they're very willing to believe it. But going on in Genesis, going forward to Genesis 21 is where Isaac is born then. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, "God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me." And she said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age." And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac." And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, "Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman, and all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also in the son, and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed." And there he's saying he's going to make a nation out of Ishmael as well, because he promised that he will make a nation out of his seed. And whether it's whether he has a child according to God's promise or not, he will still make a nation out of him. And you can see that today in the Muslim community. Going back to that, where it says, "And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking." And if you look at Isaac being the son that God had promised, and Ishmael being the son, the result of a fleshly decision, and how that the flesh and the spirit always cause conflict. Like, if you're living in the spirit and you're trying to reason with somebody that's making decisions out of the flesh or reasoning in their flesh, you always, like, it never works out. And sometimes we come up against that in our marriage, where, like, one of us might be making a decision in the spirit and the other one has fleshly desires, and it never works out. Like, you always end up button heads, and then you figure out, well, something's going on here, like something needs to change. But the same is true as we walk with people and we meet people out there, if people are pursuing their own will, and we encounter those people in our walk, whether it's in the workplace or wherever it might be, if they're all about themselves, it doesn't mesh together. If you're walking in the Spirit, it just doesn't work well together. And here you can see how Ishmael and Isaac, how Ishmael was mocking Isaac. And I think a lot of times as Christians, we need to recognize that if we're going to follow through with what God says, if we're going to be obedient to what he's asking us, and we're going to live in the Spirit, then we need to recognize that there's people that are going to laugh at us for that. There's people that are going to mock us. And if we just follow through with what God asks. So God had followed through with his promise, with what he had promised Abraham. And they had a son, they had Isaac. And in Genesis 22 is then where God asks Abraham to sacrifice his son. And I'm just inspired by those first two verses where God tells him exactly what to do. And Abraham, he didn't wait. He didn't question what God told him. And he probably, very likely, didn't understand it either. But he did it anyway. He got right on it. The next morning, God told him what to do, and he rose up early in the morning and went up on the mountain, and he knew what God had spoke to him. He didn't wait. He didn't understand it. And I think too often in our lives, when God speaks to us and he commands us to do something and we don't understand it, we wait because we want to understand what he's trying to say, and we want to understand how this is all going to work out. But I think the truth is that a lot of times the understanding comes after we follow through with obedience. When we obey what God is asking us to do, God then works everything out, and that's when we understand why God asked that of us. And it's just inspiring to me to see this, starting verse 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell of thee. And we don't read that Abraham was confused or questioned God, but he just... God spoke it, and he moved. Verse 3, And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went out and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Because of his obedience were his generations blessed, his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and all the generations after that, out of his obedience. I think the reason God had him do this was testing him to see the value that he had placed on Isaac, and if it was higher than God. And I think, I believe that's why God was asking him to sacrifice his son, was to test him to see if he actually loved God enough that he would sacrifice his son, or was his son way up here and God was down here, and he wasn't willing to do it because of the value that he had placed on his son. And I think in our lives, we need to recognize, I think what Abraham did here was he recognized that his son and his family were not his own. It was from God, and it's Isaac was God's, and it was not his son that he could just, you know, claim, or he was entitled to it. And I think in our lives, it could be numerous different things, but it could be possessions, or it could be a good thing, like in Abraham's life where it was his own son. It can be a promise that God has spoken or something that God has revealed. But God wants us to put that on the altar and to lay it before him and give it to him, because he wants to be in his rightful place, and he doesn't want that thing in our lives to be above him or to be an idol. And he asks us to release it, to lay it on the altar and give it to him. And then from there on, it could be money, but to be stewards of that and to recognize that it's on the altar, it's God's, and I'm gonna allow God to use it how he wants. It's not something I'm just gonna hang on to. Let's like to read in Galatians 4, starting at verse 28. Verse 28, Galatians 4. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And this kind of goes back to, there's scripture in John 3 where it says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. And going back to earlier how you can't mix the two, like the two don't, flesh and spirit don't get along. Like, it doesn't work that way. But through this, my encouragement is that when God promises you something and he speaks something to you, that we would believe it. It could be different things. It could be what God ministers to you as his child, who he says you are in Christ, the authority that you have in Christ, he promises that. So let's believe it. And let's not, and if it's something that he promises that we struggle to believe, or if he promises something in our lives similar to what he did with Abraham, and it takes patience, let's wait upon the Lord. Let's wait for his timing, because his timing is way better than ours. And when he speaks, let's listen, and let's just trust in his promises and believe that he has given us the power that we need to live a victorious life. God bless you.